that the Lord was talking to us this week, and he said a startling sentence to me. And just out of the blue, as I was sitting in my chair, and I thought, Lord, is that what you want to talk about? Is that what you want to say? And I felt like he did. And so I opened up my heart to whatever he was going to bring. But the sentence he said to me is that you can either control your flesh or I will. And I thought, oh, Lord, I don't know. I didn't understand and know everything that that meant, but I knew it was the Lord's voice. And so I began to open up my heart and let the Lord talk to me and all. And so we're going to talk about controlling our flesh today. We want to start in John 17, 1 and 2. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. It says that he has given him power over all flesh. And I was thinking about, in general, he has given that power in general over all flesh, that all men must come to God through him. But the Lord began to talk to me about the individual and how that God has given him power over your flesh, that you can get help with your flesh. You don't have to let the flesh reign in any part of your life, and that God will come in. So do we believe that God has power over all flesh? Does he have power over our flesh? Does he have power to help us with our flesh? He has the power over all flesh. Now, we have a part to play, but he has a part to play. In Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The scripture says that in times past, we were all subject to the power of the prince of the air. We were subject to fulfilling the desires of our flesh and mind. We were subject to those things. We grew up in sin, allowing our flesh to have free reign. And the devil would tempt us here and tempt us there. And even though we might feel that we shouldn't do something and no, I shouldn't go that way or do that thing, but he would tempt us, and eventually we would give in to the flesh. We became very used to giving in to the flesh. It became a part of us to just let our flesh have reign. It became such a part of us that it became so natural to us that we didn't even realize anymore that we were giving in to something. We just said, this is who I am. This is what I do. And we didn't even understand that we were giving in to something that was the flesh that God could deliver us from. So when we come to the Lord, sometimes we come to him and we're still so full of the flesh, so full of everything that is that was with us out in sin, because we don't even recognize it. We don't recognize it as anything bad. It has become natural to us to just give in to those things. So we've come from a life of giving into the flesh. We have come from a place where it is a natural part of us. It is so natural that sometimes we can't tell the difference between giving into the Lord and giving into the flesh. Sometimes some things cross lines and crisscross each other, and we think that we're giving into the Lord when really we are just allowing our flesh to have its way. It takes the Lord to educate us. It takes the Lord to bring us to a place to where we understand what our flesh is doing to us and how it is interfering in all of our life, and to even find it, to find all the little places that it's at. I don't know about you. I've been in the way many, many years. I still find things, little places where it's my flesh. And all this time, I may have thought it was something else. All this time, I may have thought, well, that's my personality, or that's, you know, that's who I am. That's how I feel. I mean, that's just how I feel. I can't deny how I feel, that type of thing. When really we are just giving in to the flesh and all the things that we learned when we were out there with the devil. In Romans 7 and 18, it tells us something very, very important. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." This is Paul speaking. He was giving his long discourse about sin and how sin was reigning in his body, and he couldn't find a way to get loose, and he couldn't find a way to conquer his flesh. And at the end, he said, "Oh, wretched soul that I am, you know, who's going to deliver me from all of this?" And then he said, "Jesus Christ, the Lord, is the one that can deliver." But it says, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." When we came into the Lord, there was many things about ourselves that we prized. We thought were very good. People out in the world told us they were good qualities. We had latched onto them, and they gave us some kind of comfort. And so we thought they were good qualities. We felt like that we had good ideas, you know, in our minds. We thought all these things, but the scripture tells us no good thing dwelleth. No good thing in the flesh. No good thing. We have this fleshly body to live in. We have the desires of this fleshly body, this a fleshly mind, all these things. And when we get saved, we lay down those things to the best of our ability, to the best that we understand, to the best that we even comprehend at that point in time. When we get saved, we're just trying to escape all of the guilt of the sinful life we have led. And we're not thinking much about everything that we picked up and have called our own along the way. And now we're going to have to deal with these things. None of us looked and thought, "Oh, when we got saved, I have such a long way to go. And it's going to be, I'm going to learn things about myself, and I'm going to have all these trials and tests about my flesh, and I'm going to have to learn how to do this and do that and be against my own mind and my own flesh and what I'm after." We don't know that. We have no concept. But after we've lived with the Lord for a while, we begin to get a picture of something. We begin to get that there is no good thing in this flesh. The more that the Lord exposes and he shows us, the more we say, "Oh, Lord, I am just undone before you. I am nothing but dust before you, because I had no idea that my flesh was still reigning along this line in my life," you know, and it's along lots of different lines. To the intellectual person, it's reigning in their intellect, their flesh. And they think they have such good ideas, and they have such good remedies, and they have they can talk to people, and they can counsel people, and they can help people. And they have built up in their mind, and maybe others have built up their mind, you know, "Well, you're so smart, and you know so many things, and you have so many answers." And our flesh just relishes in that. Our flesh just so to speak, bathes in all of that praise. We don't know it. We don't understand it. But you know, that intellectual person, he comes in to salvation and the Lord begins to strip him of his intellect. And you know, that's something hard to lay down. It's hard to lay down your intellect, something you've worked so hard at to learn so many things, something that you've worked so hard at to be well-versed and well-read and well-educated and everything. And now I have to throw all of that on the mercies of God. Yes, you have to. And God can use some of it, but he can't use it the way it was when you came into salvation. He can't use it there. He's got to cleanse you of that fleshly mind into your intellect. And so that's one way. Another person might be one that just gives in to all the emotions of the flesh. And they just feel like, oh, they consider themselves very strong emotionally. And they look on other people that have problems with their emotions and can't control their emotions. And they say, you know, what is wrong with them? You know, all they have to do is so-and-so. And you'll find people that they get saved and then they'll tell people, well, you need to look to the Lord because you shouldn't have all of those problems and everything. You should be strong in your emotions and you should have this and you should have that, because that's where their flesh has been gratified. And that's where they have puffed themselves up and built themselves up to where, you know, well, I don't show emotion here and I don't cry about those small things. Some people go so far as to say, I don't cry or anything, you know, I get angry about it, you know, and they think that this is a mighty virtue to be able to get angry enough that their emotions are no longer affected. And, you know, they are standing strong. And see, there are many ways and many different personalities. There are those that come to the Lord and they have just given in to their flesh so often and so much that they feel like they have no strength to change things about themselves. They just have no strength. And the Lord takes his time to let them know with him, they can have strength, but they've just given in so much. They've just never denied their flesh anything. They may have grown up in a home where, you know, where some mothers might say, no, you can't have a cookie before dinner. An indulgent mother may have said, sure, you can have a cookie, you know, and you can have dessert. And the father may say, no, he shouldn't have that before dinner. Oh, it won't hurt him, you know. And so they've just kind of petted and pampered that desire of the flesh. And they just feel they feel like that every little whim and desire that they have should be gratified, that there's no reason not to gratify it. It's just a feeling. It's just something you want. And if you have the money and you have the means or whatever to give it to yourself, then why not? Why not do it? There's all these different ways that our flesh has been built up. We're all different. But God says there's no good thing in your flesh. There's no good thing there. And we spend the rest of our saved lives discovering our enemy, the flesh. We discover him. We don't know him in the beginning, but we discover him. We find something here, we find something there. And how do we find those things? Remember, I said that the Lord told me, if you don't control it, I will. Oh, how many of us have stories about what the Lord took us through to expose our flesh and to see where we needed to conquer? Do you know that God loves us so much? He is not willing to let you slide off from the Lord and slide away from the Lord and let your flesh reign and so to speak, just kind of drag you on back out into sin. He loves us too much for that. He wants you to fight it. He wants you to learn how to do it. But if you won't, he will allow something to come. It could be physical. It could be emotional. It could be a spiritual, it could be family, friends, finances, it could be many, many things. It just depends on where your flesh has been conquering. It depends on where your flesh has been reacting. He lets it come so that we can get a good idea of what we've been given into and how it works in us and what's happening, and so that it can be exposed and we can see it as a bad thing, because we used to think it was all right. It was a good thing. There was nothing wrong with it. And the God has to show us, no, anywhere your flesh is working, anywhere where flesh is taking preeminence is not a good thing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. In Romans 8:8, there's another profound scripture about the flesh. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That is a very, very important scripture. We cannot please God when we're in the flesh. Now, God understands what we understand. So we have some fleshly ways about us that we may not understand. And yet we are being pleasing to God because of our devotion to Him, because we are looking to Him to help us in everything that we know to be doing. We're striving to do it. We're reading His word. We're taking pleasure in that. We're carrying other people's burdens. Yes, He has pleasure in us. But it says that if we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. All of those fleshly things that are in us cannot please God. They never will please God. Oh, they may please man. You know, we may exercise our flesh and tell something or spread something or tell our thoughts on it and how we think about it and how we expect what we believe is truth and everybody should be thinking about it this way and all these different things. We could spread all those things. God is not pleased when it's with our flesh. So when we're in our flesh, when we're indulging in our flesh, when we're giving in to our flesh, we can't be pleasing to God. Now, dear ones, we all know that we have all indulged in our flesh from time to time, and we knew what we were doing. We knew what we were doing. The Lord says, you should not eat that. And we eat it. We eat it. We know we shouldn't eat it. And we indulge in our flesh. He says, you shouldn't go there. And we find a reason or a why or this or that. And we go there. He says, you don't need to buy another thing this month. What's he trying to do? He's trying to curb our flesh. He's trying to show us your flesh is out of control. It's causing things and you're doing things and you're just going along and just going along with it and not even checking it or trying to balance it in any way. And so he's trying to help us to see what it is, where our flesh is coming into the picture. Because see, if we don't control it, he will bring something to help us to do. He will control because he loves us, not because he hates us, not because he's punishing us. That is not it. He is not willing that any of us perish. He knows that if we give into our flesh and we keep giving into our flesh, our fleshly thoughts, do you know everybody that has ever backslid, gave in to flesh? They gave into flesh. That's why they backslid. You don't backslid if you're fighting your flesh. There's no way to backslide if you're fighting your flesh. They backslid because they weren't fighting it. They were letting their minds go rampant and go here and there and everywhere. They were thinking all these evil thoughts. They were questioning all these different things. They were giving into the pleasures of life in things that were just drawing them further and further away from God. When we give in to our flesh, God will help us control it. But he wants us to do it voluntarily. He wants us to mind the little checks. See, the Lord sends little checks. And if we mind those things, then we, with his help, are controlling the flesh. We are controlling it. You know that in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, it says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul learned that, you know what? I have to keep this body under. I have to keep this flesh under. I have to keep it in subjection. Why? Because I can be a castaway if I don't. I can lose out if I don't. There are so many people that indulge in things and they don't think anything of it. It was just once. It was just once this week, you know. I used to do it every day and now I'm just doing it once a week, and they consider themselves doing really well. And when you consider yourself doing really well, when you're still giving into something that you're trying to give up, you are not doing well. And God is going to bring something to help you to deny your flesh. Oh, listen, we get into trouble, physical or spiritual, whatever. We get into some kind of trouble. What is the first thing we do? We start saying, "Lord, what am I doing? Help me, Lord. Why is it we do that?" Because he's touched us. See, he's touched our flesh. He has touched our flesh. Our flesh is not comfortable now. You know, we're either suffering under emotional strain, or we're suffering under financial strain, or we're suffering under a physical ailment. Something is happening and we are not comfortable in our flesh now. Oh yeah, we're ready to give it up now. We're willing to give up our flesh now. Just tell me what it is, Lord. I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want, Lord. And how many times has he spoken to us and we know what it is, and it isn't very long before we're skirting around the edges of it again. The Lord wants us really, really to be able to understand that there is no good thing in our flesh, and we must fight it all the time. And we can't give into it a little here and a little there. Colossians 2:18. It says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by" what? His fleshly mind. Vainly puffed up. Oh, listen. We let our mind give us all kinds of excuses. We get vainly puffed up in our mind. And it's the enemy working in our mind. And it's him puffing you up. And it's him telling you that you have good ideas and this is all right. And that is a little too strict. And you can have a little bit of this. You just shouldn't go overboard. But you can have a little. And all, you see what I'm saying? I was talking to someone and they were telling me how the Lord had dealt with them about a particular thing that they had indulged in when they were out in sin. And so they got saved and the Lord let them know to give that thing up. And they did. And they just walked away from it. And they just didn't touch it anymore. But you know, after a while, if we're not careful, we forget a little. We forget a little about what he has shown us and what he has taken us from. And this person told me that they had indulged in this a little. And it wasn't sinful. I want you to understand, it wasn't sinful. But it caused a separation. And they realized it. After they had done it, they realized there was a separation, that they didn't feel as close to the Lord. They didn't feel as much like reading or praying or testifying or anything, you know. And it was because this thing that the Lord had plainly told them about, and they had just given it up and left it alone. They realized here they were back just a little dabbling, not all the time, not full time, not, but just a little. And they realized what a separation it made. You see, when the Lord feels you separating from him, he knows exactly what it is. Sometimes we don't know, but he knows exactly what's causing it. So he is going to bring something to expose what is causing it. So regardless of what it is or where it is in our life, he's going to bring something to expose where we're slipping. But people can be so vainly puffed up in their minds, fleshly minds, that they begin to reason. One of the ministers that preached, it was Sister Busby when she preached in Austria, and she was saying, or was teaching in Austria, and she said, we're in the age of reason. This is the age of reason. Everybody questions everything. They question authority. They question the governments. They question their parents. They question their jobs and what they require. They question everything. And it's an age of reason. Well, I don't know why we have to do it this way. And I don't know why we need to do it that way. They question everything. It's an age of reason. I'm going to reason it out. And we get vainly puffed up in our minds, our fleshly minds, and we reason out that a little bit doesn't hurt. And if I only do this part of it, it's okay. This part isn't so bad, so I can do this part. I know I can't do this part of it, but this little part over here, it's okay. This seems innocent enough. And I reason in my fleshly puffed up mind, think that I have the power to reason out what is good for me and what is not. Instead of just going to the Lord and saying, Lord, are you displeased with this? Should I give this up? What do I need to know about this? How is this damaging me? What can you help me that my flesh doesn't crave this anymore? And I'm not just talking about bad habits. I'm talking about things out there in the world, and I'm not talking about everything that's sinful. There are some things that are not sinful, but our flesh craves it so much. We spend so much time in it that we separate ourselves from God. And we say, well, it's not sin. It's not sin. But do I spend as much time with the Lord as I spend with that? Do I spend as much time with the Lord as I spend with these other pleasures that I enjoy in this life? He is supposed to be everything to us. He is supposed to be the lover of our soul. And yet we want to spend this time away from him, so to speak, indulging in something not sinful, but something that takes up our mind and our occupation of our mind and everything, to where we are not thinking of God at all. We're not, communing with him at all. This thing has thoroughly taken up all of our brain, all of our space in our brain to be able to think and do. Vainly puffed up in our fleshly minds. And we think that we can reason it all out and say, well, this is okay because of this. This isn't okay because of that. And I can clearly see the difference. And so I'm going to go ahead and keep this. I'll get rid of that part. And it all comes from our fleshly mind. In 1 Peter 2 and 11, it says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. And why? Because they war against the soul. You see, there's this great war that is going on. It is a great war. In Revelation, it calls it the Battle of Armageddon. I know that the world out there, the Christian world, says that there's going to be this big physical world war of Armageddon at the end. No, we are in the Battle of Armageddon right now. And what it is there is a war over our soul. And the devil is using our flesh to conquer our soul. And the Lord is trying to use the spirit to conquer our soul. And there's a great war. And we can either join with the Lord and fight in this war against the flesh, or we can aid and abet the enemy. We can aid the enemy, our flesh, by just giving into it a little today. Just a little today. It'll affect you for tomorrow. It will affect you for tomorrow if we give it, because it's warring against our soul. And we have to be careful that we don't just, we can't take all of our free time and dedicate it to our loves in this life, our fleshly loves, our fleshly desires. We can't just dedicate all of our free time to those things. The Lord needs some of our free time. See, we have duties that we have to perform. We have jobs to go to, and we have all kinds of duties in life that we have to take care of every day. And God, sometimes He will intrude upon those duties and call you away from some of those duties and say, you can wait and do that tomorrow. You need to be with me today. And we're always rewarded if we hear the Lord and we do that. But most of the time, God knows the duties you have to perform. But He's watching what you're doing after the duties are done. What are you doing then? What are you doing with your time then? Are you dedicating the first fruits of that time to the Lord? The first fruits. Or are you dedicating yourself to all these fleshly things or whatever that you want to do? And then, oh, at the end of the day, yeah, I have to pray now. I'm going to sleep. I have to pray now. Is that what we're doing? Or are we dedicating the first fruits of our free time? Are we giving that to Him? They always required in the sacrifices that were brought the best. God required the best. He required lambs and everything without any spot or blemish. They couldn't have any, in other words, you couldn't go out to the herd and say, oh, well, this one's crippled, so I'm going to use this for a sacrifice. No, you had to pick the best one and bring it for a sacrifice. And God said, because you picked the best, He's trying to teach us something. Because you picked the best and you gave it to me, I will be strong on your behalf. But if you pick the weak and the beggarly things to give to Him, then He cannot be strong. He cannot reward that kind of sacrifice. So when we give Him the last half hour of our day, and yet maybe we came home from work, maybe at 4 o'clock, and now it's 9:30, and we give Him the last half hour before we go to sleep. We quickly read a few scriptures and we say our prayers and get into bed. Is that the first fruits? Is that the first fruits that we gave Him? Or when we come through the door and home from work, and we finally are away from all of the worldly atmosphere, and we're away from all of the things that took up our minds and that had to take up our minds because we have a job and we have to fulfill it. Did we come in and our first thought was, oh, I need to get alone with the Lord? And then we go off and give Him some first fruits, go off and get by ourselves and spend a half hour with Him and give Him the first fruits, the very first. Says Romans 13 and 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Make provisions for it. Oh, listen, I can tell you some stories about myself. And I'm sure every one of you could tell some stories about yourself. But I can tell you some stories about myself in my younger days when I was trying to lose weight and on a diet. And the particular one I was on said that the weekends were free. You know what the flesh did. You know what the flesh did. Here, the flesh, I'm fighting the flesh all week, staying faithful, doing what I'm supposed to do, not giving in to my desires and this little thing that tempts me here and that little thing, you know. But what do? I go to the store, and when I see the store, I see something I really like. Ooh, I store it up for the weekend. By the time the weekend comes, I have five or six things in the cupboard that it's free. And I'm going to indulge in all those things. You see, I made a provision for the flesh. I made a way for it to overindulge. I did that. Instead of saying, no, I'm going to get one thing and then I must still be careful. And I put that one thing in there, packaged in a portion size, and not the whole bag, in a portion size. And I say that I make a provision. See, we can either make a provision for the flesh to succeed, or we can make a provision for the spiritual life to succeed. So we can make a provision that I have this. I've made a provision. It's right there. It's packaged right there in the cupboard. And that is my treat. And I've made a provision for it. And I will thoroughly enjoy it when it comes. But I have not made a provision for my flesh. I've made a provision that I can stay on track and I can keep doing the right things. You see, some people, that's what they would do. And they could stay successful having the weekends off because they didn't make provisions for their flesh to overindulge. But if you're one of those people that overindulges in certain things, and it doesn't have to be food. It can be entertainments. It can be free time. It can be all manner of things. Whatever your desires and whatever your loves are, and you make provision for it to where, oh, when this weekend comes, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that. And it, you know, nobody's going to bother me and I'm going to lock myself up in my room and I'm going to do this and that. And Lord help us. To make provisions for our flesh to succeed instead of making provisions for our spirit to succeed. So how do we make provisions for our spirit to succeed? Well, I should have been praying every day during that week. I should have been praying, Lord, when the weekend comes, help me not to overindulge. Help me not to just ruin this whole week that I've been sacrificing and doing right. Help me not to just let it all go by the wayside because the weekend has come. I could have been praying like that every day. When I went to the store and I was tempted, I could have prayed right there. I could have made provisions to do the right thing on the weekend. I could have said, no, I need to choose. I need to choose one thing. I need to choose one thing. And then I need to leave the rest alone. You see? You're either going to control your flesh or the Lord is going to control it. Not out of hatred for you, but out of love for you. He knows that giving into your flesh just leads you down a path where you give into the flesh on this subject. And then pretty soon the flesh is stronger. And then in this thing you're giving in, and then in that thing you're giving in. And before you know it, you've slipped right on out of salvation. And it started with some little thing over here that you indulged in the flesh. God help us. It says in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, walk in the spirit. What does the spirit say? Be moderate, be temperate. What does the spirit say? Don't love the things of the world. What does the spirit say? Be careful of how you spend your money. What does the spirit say? Be careful you don't overindulge in too much sleep, too much food, too much anything. Be moderate in all things. See, keep control of your flesh. When you give in to the little things that are not necessarily sinful, but your flesh just wants it, you have strengthened your flesh a little. What did we used to tell our children? Can I go over to my friend's house? And you say, yes, yes, you can go today. So they go over today. And the next day they say, can I go over to my friend's house? And we say, no, you can't go today. But why not? Because in our minds, we knew that it wasn't good for them to be able to have their desires fulfilled every day, whatever they wanted to do. We knew that. We knew we couldn't let them just have cookies for breakfast. We knew we couldn't just let them, you know, have nothing but sweets and all a snack all day. And we knew all these things. Why? We knew it wasn't good for them to give in to their flesh. See, we understand what happens when we give into flesh because we're willing to raise our children not to do it. But when we're adults, we think, I'm an adult now. I get to choose for myself. And so I'm going to have, I remember my mother when we were small and, you know, we would pack lunches to take to school. And, you know, you would get the, like the Hostess cupcakes and they would come in a two pack. And she would divide that up and give one to me and one to my sister. Do you know, after I got up and out of the house, I never ate one again. I always ate two. Now, was that good? Was that good? No, she was trying to teach me restraint. Don't just give into your flesh. Just don't think you have to have two because it's packaged two. You don't have to. She was teaching me restraint. But see, I grew up and I said to myself, I don't have to restrain myself now. I can do what I want. And I can have two if I want to. You know, and then before you know it, you're buying two packs. And before you know what I'm saying? Because once you feed the flesh, it's never satisfied. You know, it's a bottomless pit. It's never satisfied. You feed it a little bit, it's going to want more. But if you starve it a little, if you starve it a little, then the spirit goes stronger and you're able to starve it some more. There's no good thing in our flesh, dear ones. There's no good thing in giving into our flesh. It says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary. They're not the same at all. One to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You can't do the things. See, we look over here on this side of our life and we say, I can't understand why I can't get victory over here and why I can't do this and I can't do that. And over here, we're just feeding the flesh every day, giving into it every day. And we wonder why it's strong. See, the flesh is the flesh. It doesn't matter what it is you're giving into it for. The flesh gets stronger if you give into it. So I'm giving in over here because, oh, you know, I've reasoned this all out and this isn't bad and I can go ahead and do this. And so I'm just giving into the flesh and just enjoying whatever over here. But this thing over here, I truly hate and I don't like this and I want this changed. But the flesh is so strong because I'm feeding it that I can't get victory over the thing that I hate. And that's what Paul was talking about when he said, I can't get rid of the things that I hate. I'm doing the things I hate. What's wrong? What's wrong? And he said, Jesus would be able to change it. And he can. He can change this. God is powerful. And if you want to control your flesh, God will help you do it. He will help you do it. But you have to mean it. You can't just do it for a while and then just say, oh, it's so hard. I'm just, you know, and then just give in. And then say, and then you say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And so I resist. And then pretty soon I just give in again. The Lord has the power to help you to keep your body, your flesh under every day. That at the end of the day, as you look back over your day, you can say, Lord, I did not feed the flesh today. I did not, to the best of my knowledge, I did not feed the flesh today. And then when you get to that point, then God can open up another area that you haven't discovered yet, that the flesh is very much alive, but you don't know it yet. But because you have conquered here, now you have the courage and the strength to go over and conquer the new thing. And that's why some people grow in grace, and they grow in knowledge, and they grow in wisdom, and they grow sweeter, and they grow and grow, and they become solid pillars in the church of God, because that's what they did. And why some are all the time kind of hanging around at the door and can't hardly get victories and can't get this and can't get that, because they just indulge their flesh. And they a little bit here, and then they conquer that, and then a little bit over here, and then they go after that. But then while they're over here after that, they kind of indulge just a little over here, not very much. And they reason, it's not very much. God was not happy because I was doing it all the time. See, we're not smart enough to figure out these things because we have a fleshly mind. We have to give it over to the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't come into our life and just automatically take over our flesh. We have to submit it. We have to give it to the Spirit. We have to say, you tell me what it is, I will do what you tell me to do. Oh, Lord, I'm convicting myself this morning. Lord, help. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. They crucified. Oh, you know what crucifixion means. It is a horrible, painful death. Listen, when we crucify the flesh, it's a horrible, painful death. If it wasn't painful, if it didn't cost us anything, we wouldn't really crucify it. Sometimes the struggles are long and they're hard, but we can win. We can actually crucify the flesh and all the lusts and affections, all the loves that are out there warring against our flesh and all the lusts that are out there warring against our flesh. We can conquer it. We can crucify it through Christ, just like he was crucified for us. Through him, we can crucify the flesh. We can win. We can have the power we need to say no. We can do that, and we can gain strength, and our flesh will get weaker and weaker and weaker. And that's what we see in many of the elders, and we look on them and they are able to just say no to this and no to that. And they're not involved in this. And they're not involved in that. And they're just so happy and so free because they're not living under the flesh anymore. They're living under the Spirit. And they have learned to quickly give in to whatever the Spirit lets them know is happening. They've learned to quickly let loose of things. And their flesh is very, very small. But their spirit is very, very big. And we look at them and we admire them. But the only way to get there is to do it the same way they did it. You're going to have to conquer your flesh. Going to have to lay it aside in every place that it rears its head. You're going to have to beat it down. You're going to have to keep it under every single day. Amen.